Today, I'm welcoming on a woman who is fascinated with the comedian, writer, singer, and actress, Joyce Grenfell, who was very big in the 20th century. My guest is touring with her one-woman show very soon, and I'm delighted to welcome her onto Radio Gorgeous. Her name is Cheryl Knight, and she has a show called Ode to Joyce. Hello, and welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me, Jo. This is great.
Absolute pleasure. Can you first tell us about how you became aware of Joyce Grenfell?
Joyce. Well, I think it's when I was at school and I came across the original Centrinians films, the old black and white ones.
That's in the holidays when there was nothing else to do. Remember, they were on all yes. the time.
That'll be it. And I loved her voice and I loved her sort of, you know, glumping around, swinging her arms and being like, oh, Sammy, and all this sort of stuff. And well, I wasn't the coolest kid, you may have gathered already. And I don't know, she just sort of chimed with me and I thought she
was
fun. And
so tell us about her character in Centrinians.
So she played an undercover policewoman, Sergeant Ruby Gates, who was sent in to work as a gym mistress. I mean, she was the most inappropriate choice for a gym mistress, you can imagine. And to try and find out what was going on in this incredibly unruly girls' school and sort of infiltrate report back to her superiors. But of course, chaos reigned and she was just as much caught up in all the antics as anybody else.
I know that expression, oh, Sammy. What was that, you know, linked to? What was that?
Actually, this is where I have to make a confession, which any other Joyce aficionados they'd be appalled that I get confused over this, because there were the Centrinians films, and there was also another film before that called The Happiest Days of Your Life, or their lives. You see, isn't that terrible? I should know that. And which was pretty much Centrinians. And I think now this is where I get muddled. Yeah. Anyway, Sammy in one of those films was her long-term fiance. And they've just been.
So it's like she never gets married. She's always. I remember her being slightly sort of manly in the role, you know.
Sort of, yes.
Top hole old chappy kind of type of woman, you know. Jolly hockey sticks, of course, you know.
Exactly.
I think she sort of invented jolly hockey sticks, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I think of the phrase jolly hockey sticks, that's what I picture is Joyce in her sort of gym slip holding an old hockey stick and
with
just
her Airtex top and her lacrosse stick and
all that sort of thing.
The thing about her was that was an acting role, but as we know, she's super talented as a comedian, a writer and a performer. Can you tell us about that?
She always kind of sort of stumbled into it, and so in the late 30s, she was a great mimic. She always loved that. And she came from a family of great mimics. She was the daughter of a woman who was a very sort of glamorous American and was one of the Gellhorn sisters, who were these really illustrious, beautiful Virginians. And one of them also happened to become Nancy Astor in later life. So Nancy Astor, first female MP, was Joyce Grenfell's aunt, and she was also a real mimic. So that was sort of something in the family that they did. Joyce used to be a radio critic and would write her reviews and all that sort of thing. And one night, as she's sort of infiltrating showbiz world, she found herself at a party, and she'd been to, she was a member of the keen member of the local Women's Institute, and she'd been to what she called a lecture demonstration. And the woman who did it was just hilarious. So Joyce, you know, had taken this woman off and done this sort of little piece for her friends. And then she was at this party one evening and her friend said, oh, come on, do your Women's Institute woman. So she did. And there was a man at the party who was Herbert Fargen, who was a sort of theatrical impresario at the time, and a very influential man. And he had he used to put on these reviews in the West End, Fargen's Little Review. And on the back of that, he asked Joyce to take part and to do her Women's Institute woman. And that caused quite a bit of ill feeling within the company.
She hadn't treaded the boards the right way.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was something that did follow her quite a bit. She sort of toured with Ensor during the war. And I think to begin with, a lot of the other entertainers just thought, who's this posh upstart? Yeah. And she was incredibly unprofessional, apparently, in all sorts of ways, just being sort of
enthusiastic
and all the rest of it. But undoubtedly incredibly talented. She was also influenced by a woman called Ruth Draper, who's almost forgotten now, who again was a distant relative, like a second cousin or something, who at the time was very famous for her monologues. They would go on for hours. They were really long monologues. So this whole idea of creating characters, embodying someone for a period of time, that was something that was quite ingrained in Joyce already. And so,
it was sort of very natural for her to do this. It's sort of already, and also she's already a critic, and she's already good at the pen, she's already good at words, it all came together and sort of blossomed.
It did. And one of the things about her is that she had an incredible ear. She was also very musical, but I think that helped her to tune into different characters, different rhythms, different speech rhythms, ways of putting words together.
Accents, isn't she? She's brilliant at accents. I mean, just.
She really is. That's one of the things I really love and admire about her. Some people say, especially nowadays, in this day and age, they think some of her pieces are sort of looking down on people who are of a different class to her. She's taking the mick out of working class people.
What comedy is? Sorry.
Well, to a certain extent, but she just loved people. She just found people funny.
And she was, she's observational comedy. So what she did was she'd listen to people and then she'd become them. And
she would.
That's not putting someone down. It's making light of them. It's fun,
It is. And I mean, she would make notes all the time. She'd be listening to people on the bus or wherever. One of her songs, I Like Life, she talks about when she's, if ever she's feeling low, she starts observing life and realizing how much she loves life and listening into conversations when she should be something out doing something else and how they cheer her up. Yet she just found people funny and also very moving as well. Some of these people think, she's a laugh a minute. Yes.
I heard a sad one today when she was like giving up her life for her father, that one.
That's right. I do that one in the show.
Even when I'm talking about it now, I got goosebumps because I thought,
I know, it's giving me goosebumps too.
I think to be able to be poignant as well as funny is you can move people, which is what it's all about.
When I perform that in the show, there's just silence afterwards. Nobody claps or anything. I think people are quite shocked by it
it because it means she's got depth,
yes she has.
But I want to, because I want people who haven't heard of her, because obviously there's quite a lot of younger people listening, can you tell us who she's influenced, that people will have heard of?
She was a massive influence on Victoria Wood. I often describe her as the grandmother of female stand-up in this country.
Fantastic.
Because, she was an absolute, national treasure, sort of living legend in her time. And so Victoria Wood was very influenced by her, how she created her characters and would often perform monologues herself. Miranda Hart, I would say as well. I know she's a big fan of Joyce and her sort of galumphing kind of character, sort of thing. They're very Joycey. Mm. Those are the two that immediately spring to mind. But I think, at one point she was the highest paid entertainer on television, which is extraordinary because,
she was a woman. That's what's extraordinary.
Yes. Yes. And And also she helped lots of people on their way. There were entertainers, Flanders and Swan, were, you know, of a bygone era. But, you know, she
helped champion people as well.
Yeah. Yes, and the writer and journalist Clive James, she was enormous support to him in his early days when he was a student. She and Reggie took him under their wing, and Reggie was her husband.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of used to give him old Reggie's old cast offs and clothes and just sort him out in all sorts of ways. And, you know, he was this sort of rather sort of gauche sort of Australian guy coming over. I keep using the word gauche today. I don't really use that. And, but, you know, and she was uber sophisticated. So,
yes,
you know,
that's the point that is sort of in all the literature I've read about her, that even though she played the jolly hockey sticks or the sort of working class woman, she was born in Kensington, you know, and she had these incredible, I mean, she was nearly an aristocrat, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. And, you know, just knew all these incredible people. I mean, she was amazingly well connected. Mm. While doing the show, I've been really fortunate to meet a couple of members of her family. And one of them is the Queen's Lady in Waiting, and the other one was the Queen Mother's Lady in Waiting, and is still alive and well, aged, Dame Frances Preston Campbell. She's in, 105, maybe, is she now? Something like that. She's Marvelous. And they've been to see the show, and the other one is Lady Susan Hussey. And yeah, how terrifying to perform in front of them.
Yes.
But really, really wonderful, really.
So Joyce, in a way, was very rebellious, because she, you know, this world is so rarefied. For her to go and be a kind of personality on the stage was completely against everybody. And, you know, I mean, okay, they were mimics, but probably at private parties, where she commercialized it, you know.
Yeah, I think she was pretty terrified of her aunt Nancy Astor, and I think Nancy Astor was rather disapproving of.
But she was a feminist, because she went out and did it, and all her characters were women, and she was the best paid woman on TV. She probably got, you know, made sure that deal happened, you know. She sounds fantastic. I mean, she's just a brilliant woman, totally inspiring. So the first thing that happened to you, sorry, Cheryl, is that you were asked to be one of her characters, weren't you? Tell us about that.
I was. So I went to an all-girls school, and I'd literally just left school, but there was going to be an all-girls reunion. And my drama teacher said to me, Cheryl, there's this fantastic monologue. I'd really like you to perform it for the reunion as part of the sort of entertainment. And she said, you know, I think you'd be able to handle this. Actually, there's rather a lot of you in this. I mean, it's so flattering. It's so unflattering. And
so the character is called Lumpy Latimer. And I want you to give the listeners just a little taste of Lumpy, please. Is that possible?
That's fine. So, yes, it's also subtitled The Past is Present, meaning we, you know, try and reinvent ourselves, but we never quite escape our past. So here she is, arriving at the old girls' reunion. I say, it is Patsy, isn't it? Yes, I thought it was. I don't suppose you remember me. Heavens, I don't believe anyone's called me Lumpy Latimer for years. How ghastly. Well, yes, indeed, Lumpy Latimer, as was. Well, my name is Clinch now, as in boxing. I married a man called Keith Clinch, and we've been living out in Kenya. We have to call it Kenya now, you know. Well, we've been out there for years, but now the children are married and are here, so we decided to come back. Yes, yes, for good. Oh, I know, I'm going to miss the sun terribly. yes, I am going to the tea. Oh, well, do let's meet and have a talk then. Lovely. Miss Davison. Yes, that's right, Lumpy Latimer. Yes, I'd entirely forgotten till Patsy Marsh just reminded me. Isn't it ghastly? Well, now my name is Clinch, as in boxing. And, well, Keith and I, we've been living out in Kenya. We have to call it Kenya now, you know. Well, we've been out there for years, but now the children are married and more or less settled here, so we decided to come back. Yes, yes, for keeps. oh, I know I'm going to miss a song quite dreadfully. I'm going to buy myself a woolly vest. Yeah, are you by way of going to the tea? Oh, well, do let's forgather and have a talk then. I'd love that. Goodbye, Mr. Hibson. Will that do for now?
Yeah, that's fantastic. My God. So you trained to be an actress, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I went to Guildford School of Acting.
Yeah.
And excuse me, do you mind if I just let my dog in?
No, we love your dog. I've heard about this cockapoo in the garden.
It's just starting to rain and she's... Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Hopefully she'll be quiet.
She's very welcome.
She wants to go.
She's a woman as well, which is good.
Well, exactly. Girl power. We're all here.
So yeah, you went to drama school, and did you? I mean, is mimicry one of your things, Cheryl?
I think it is actually. Mm. Yeah, I think yes. I've always enjoyed, even when I was quite small, taking off voices and trying to make people laugh.
And do you find Joyce Grenfell's voice is kind of quite, you know, similar to yours? Or was it hard to get? Or, you know, tell me about
what. I think dating back to those school days watching Centurions, there's this strange sort of in the back of her throat sort of quality. It's quite a sort of open sound. When she was creating voices, she used to pull funny faces in the mirror and do sort of something funny with her teeth and then start talking. And what does that sound like if I do that? And then sometimes a character would kind of evolve.
Totally, because I think it's all about mouth placement, really, isn't it? The character.
Yeah.
You know, where you put your tongue, where you put your, you know. So it's so interesting. But in fact, I think of Joyce Grenfell, I think of her sort of, yes, going through the nose and sort of round the teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, she had those amazing teeth.
Yeah,
and it is kind of quite sort of in the back of the throat, quite sing-songy. Sometimes, I mean, the voice is kind of obviously a hybrid of my natural sound and hers. And some of the bits, I mean, the show, I am being her.
Yeah.
But it's very much me being her, what I mean?
Yeah. So are you ever you, or are you always her all the way through? Are you like, hello, I'm Joyce, this is my show, is that it?
No, I am her. So basically, the show sort of recreates the style of one of hers. So, and everything is in her words. So even the little links and things in between numbers are taken from her broadcasts, little gags, you know, she goes to get a glass of water and holds it up to the audience and says cheekily, it is water, and has a sip, you know, and all sorts of funny little things.
You made up those moments, or have you seen her do these things?
I've seen her do those things.
Yeah.
And also then interspersed within the monologues and songs are letters that she wrote mostly to her mother and this one to her best friend. And so the whole idea behind it, it's not sort of saying this is Joyce's life story. It's giving an essence of who she was, not only through the letters she wrote and giving insight into her character, but even just the choice of material. So the things that are funny, the things that are sad. We were really, well, we've just been so fortunate all along with this. And a friend of a friend called me up one day and said, you know, I'm working with this woman and her dad used to play the piano for Joyce Grenfell. And I was like, really? Well, Bill Blizzard's daughter? And she's like, yes, I must get you two to meet. So I met this wonderful person, Pookie Blizzard, that's her name.
Fabulous name.
Yes, isn't that great? She's lovely. She's an amazing textile designer. She's fantastic. And she invited Paul Knight, who's no relation, but he's
my dad. Yes, I saw that and I thought, oh, it must be a husband.
I know. Some people say no. It's just sheer coincidence. And we went round to Pookie's house, which used to be her dad's house. And she just brought down from the attic all this archive material, all this sheet music. Just all sorts of stuff with, you know, notes hand scribbled by Joyce.
You've had access to things that nobody else has.
Yes.
It's like a biographer, you know.
It's been incredible. Yeah. And there was she had some old tape cassettes podcasts as well. She said, I don't know what's on here. And there was a song on there which Joyce and Bill Blesdard recorded for Benjamin Britten. There's a book called Letters from Aldborough, and it describes this whole thing, describes her whole experience. It's letters between her and Ben Britten. Whole experience of writing this, the nervousness about performing it, what happened to it. It was only ever performed once. Anyway, I was listening to these tapes, and there's Joyce and Joyce and Bill performing this song. And the Blesdard children, Pookie and Paul, they have allowed us to use that song in our show. So that's a completely exclusive thing that is so special.
Yeah, you must
feel when
so
we
honored.
Very first
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I really do. Mm. And yeah, having those personal connections, that's just happened all the way along, and these wonderful sort of resonance.
Joyce is messaging you. Joyce is sort of guiding you, obviously.
Channeling Joyce. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, no, yeah. It really has been, sounds a bit naff to say a blessed thing, but it sort of has really. And it sort of, it kind of arose out of quite a difficult time.
You could also
time.
Say it was meant to be, because if it
yeah.
works really well and it kind of rolls out and just positive things keep happening, you know, it's
yes, it really has felt like that. Mm. Another time I was, I used to work at the Royal Opera House, and the head of archives sent me a message going, Cheryl, I've heard there's going to be an auction in Oxford of some of Joyce Grenfell's things. And I thought, right, I'm going. I looked at the lots, I thought, right, I'm going. I got up at the crack
whatever
of dawn,
happens,
hands up there.
I'm going.
I know. And I saw these things, and I'd never been to an auction before, and I was quite nervous and excited. And one of the lots was the hat that she wore when she performs a song called Hymn, which is a very funny song, and where she's in church and she's suddenly she's singing the tune of the hymn, but her mind's gone off thinking, oh no, I forgot to switch the gas off, and the house is going to burn down, and all that sort of stream of consciousness going on. And on the one of her, she did two TV series, one in the 60s and one in the 70s. I think it's the one in the 70s. She's wearing this particular hat, which is pretty special. And so that hat was up for auction, and I was thrilled that I won it.
Yay!
And as I was paying for the hat, this lady came up to me, she said, oh, you've got the hat. And on a hunch, I thought, do you know what? I wonder if this is Joyce's biographer, because I know she was very close to Joyce, and she lives in Oxford. So I said, are you Janie Hampton? And she said, yes I am. And we ended up going for coffee afterwards, and
so much to talk about.
Yeah. And in the end, and Janie wrote a play about Joyce and her sort of knowledge of Joyce, and we ended up taking that to Dartington Festival one year, which was really brilliant. It's just really fantastic.
Well, I think it's fantastic. Can you tell us you're on tour, darling?
I am, yes.
Can you tell us where you're going and what you're up to?
Well, it starts this weekend, Jubilee weekend.
Oh, perfect for Joyce, being so close to the Royals.
Exactly. We start in Surbiton.
Oh, perfect.
On Saturday, 7:30 at the Corner House in Surbiton. Yeah. And then the following day, on Sunday, we've got a matinee, 3 p.m. matinee, as part of the Brighton Fringe.
Wow.
So we'll be at the Unitarian Church there. So that'll be great.
Yeah.
Then next Wednesday, we're in Esher, Wednesday the 8th. Friday the 10th in Borden.
I don't know where Borden is, do you?
I didn't know. I've never been to Borden, so I'm quite excited. So we're at the Phoenix Theatre and Arts Centre.
Yeah.
Friday the 17th, we're at the Berry Theatre in Hedge End, another place that's down near Southampton. Anyone who lives in these places is going to be thinking, oh, stupid woman, why did she
we don't know.
Yes. And then And then we fast forward to the end of June, where we're going to Southwold, which will just be lovely, lovely. As part of their festival.
Is that Suffolk? Is that Suffolk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Southwold Arts Centre.
Yeah.
And then the following night, on the Thursday the 30th, we're in Cambridge at the Town and Gown, which is a sort of pub theatre, which will be fun. And then we wrap up on the 4th of July in Guildford, as part of the Guildford Fringe, at the Star Inn, which I just love the idea of Joyce at the Star Inn. Honestly, we've performed in so many places over the years, from a cave in Cornwall to the Lowry in Salford and everything in between. So
tell me about your costumes and things. Do you have costume changes, or do you do it?
I do. Again, I do it in her sort of way, where, well, I've got a couple of very elegant dresses that I wear, and then I add hats and coats, and you know, just as I'm introducing a piece, I'll put on a hat. So it's always just a suggestion, something for a character, and I've kept as close as I can, again, to the sort of things that she wore.
And
I don't wear her actual hat; it's too fragile and precious to take on tour with me.
It'd be a shame to wear it, sort of, in the theatre and ruin it. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. But I've got some other real gems of hats. I was going around collecting bits and bobs to put into the show. There's some I was like, oh my word, I've just got to have that. That's hilarious.
Well, I think it sounds totally thrilling. And is it with a pianist then?
Yes. So actually, Paul usually plays for me. And they're amazing.
Is he your director as well?
Yes, he is. Yeah. And also he devised the show with me. Mm-hmm. And he worked with Bill Blezard, so he knows him. And he worked as a student. He was with Benjamin Britten. So there are these amazing links there as well. It's really special.
Everyone's got to go and see Cheryl in Ode to Joyce. And thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. I've enjoyed so much that I'm going to come to Guildford, just to let you know.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, it's so lovely to
thank
meet
you so much person. For coming on to Radio Gorgeous today.
Thank you for having me. This has been brilliant. Thank you.